Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. This week, I'm really stoked to have Mars Funamadova on the podcast. I managed to catch up with Mars at the end of last year when she was in South Africa for UTCT. Most of her episode, we talk about her professional development, her career, some of her race experiences. There is a brief moment where we do discuss last year and her thoughts and feelings ahead of the UTCT 100K. I left that part of the interview in just because I find it interesting, and I really think that what she has to share with her history with that race is, yeah, cool facts and information for all of us to have. So I am aware that some of that is last year's news, but it still forms a big part of her story and what we talk about. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and I'll see you back here next week for our next one. As usual, Trail Culture wouldn't be happening without the help and continued support of Carbon Endurance, a product distribution house that has all your training and racing needs covered. For those who are taking on big training blocks in this heat, Carbon Endurance offers guidance on heat training and has amazing options for recovery in their Pillar Performance product range. All of this is rooted in science, it's the real deal, and their team knows their stuff. All of the info is in the show notes for you guys to check out more. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and I'll be back here next week with the next one. This week, I am stoked to welcome an outdoor enthusiast, a creative talent, bicycle riding, trail running, dog loving, adventurous spirit, Mars Funamadova. She is going to chat to us a little bit today about her sports journey, her travels, her media experience, her professional development, and more. And yeah, I'm so stoked to have you on the podcast today, Mars, in between your travels from Canada to South Africa. It's really good to have you.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say what you're doing is amazing. And I'm here for the women's race, but I'm also here for women in media. So thank you for doing your part.
Awesome. Thanks, Mars. And Mars, to start off, so we love to hear a little bit about the human behind the amazing stories, and I'm sure the photos, which a lot of people have seen. So can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself in the trail running space?
So this is a long story. I mean, this could take up the whole podcast, but I'm going to try fly through it. I grew up horse riding.
Cool.
Believe it or not, it's like such a different part of my life. And I'd always run through high school. I loved it. I loved running cross country and track, but that was never the main thing. I've always been very goal oriented. So I've always had like this main thing and purpose that's driving me. And I broke my collarbone, and the surgeon said to my mom, I can't ride anymore because if I fall off, the whole thing will explode because there were so many pins in it. And essentially, I started running. This was maybe in second year in university, and just immediately somehow fell into trail running. I saw these races existed. I think it was actually Skyrun that Wow. caught my eye first. I don't know how. I must have just seen it on the internet, and I remember thinking like, okay, like by the end of the year I'm gonna run this 100 kilometer Skyrun thing. Luckily that didn't happen because that would have been very soon, but within a few weeks of having broken my collarbone, I randomly entered a marathon and enjoyed it. Somehow I paced it terribly the first half of it. Like the first half marathon was a PB in my half marathon time, so it was wow. interesting. But I realized I could endure longer distances, and then started looking at ultras. And of course, trail running offered more ultras than on the road. And that's sort of how I ended up there.
No ways. That's so cool, from horse riding to trail running. And like early days, the start of your kind of trail career, chat to us a bit about those experiences. We've had a mixed bag of people who came from road and cross country and they like didn't know that they could walk and they just like try to run the whole thing, or like people who pitch with no fuel and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So was it kind of learning by fire?
I mean, like if we go early days, my dad always introduced me to the outdoors, or my mom and my dad, but I remember going on like one very specific hike with my dad as a kid. I think it was in like Sacred Sorrento or something, nowhere dramatic in any shape or form, but pretty cool for Gauteng. And So I had always had that introduction to the outdoors. So that's pretty important to note. And I've always been obsessed with wildlife in terms of animals. And so that connection has always been there. So I suppose like getting onto the trails was quite a smooth transition for me. And yeah, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was
kind of natural.
It was where I was supposed to be at that time, for
yeah.
sure.
Nice.
But I mean, I've made all the mistakes, like the not fueling. The reason I suppose I really got into trail running was because we were going on holiday to Iceland and I saw there was like a 50K and I entered this 50K and did pretty well. I actually got a stress fracture after that first marathon I did, and I hadn't run for 6 weeks leading up to this Iceland race, like not one step. I think the 4 days before I did like a 20K, because I was like, if I can do 20K,
I can do 50.
I could do 50K, and then I did this 50K, went pretty well, and then I mean, this is wait, how you were saying like people doing all these stupid things when they start. I then got back to South Africa and the week later did a 35K in Magaliesburg or something. And that was just like, of course, like an absolute disaster. But I could not understand why that recovery hadn't happened.
Yes.
It's like, it's been a week. How am I not recovered? Obviously, I've learned
since then how to time these things.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And Vaz, you, I think I read on your website, the dream was to be a guide in the Serengeti. You mentioned like loving nature and being obsessed with the outdoors. But tell us a bit about your 9-to-5. Like what is your job?
I mean, like, I wouldn't say I have a 9-to-5. It's more, it's deeper than that. It's kind of like it shapes my whole life. But I suppose what's bringing in money, let's just put it bluntly, a lot of photography things, a lot of design work, a lot of working on websites, and this will be with outside of the trail running industry as well, so working with little brands and things, which I really love. I really love branding so much. I love creating a voice for an idea through a visual identity.
Mm.
And I suppose that's somewhat tied to the photography too. My friend and I started a race in Canada. That's cool. Very fun. After working deeply in Ultra Trail Cape Town for years and seeing how hard Stuart works as a race director, I thought I would never want to be a race director, but here we are, kind of like just fell into my lap. I joke it was my way of making friends when I first immigrated. I had to start a race.
That is so cool.
So that's been fun.
But tell us more. What's it called? Where does it go through? Yeah.
It's called The Coaster. So where I live is the Sunshine Coast, not Australia, but in Canada. So not that much sunshine, but more sunshine than most places on the West Coast, at least. And it's pretty much just like a magical fairy traverse through forests I can't even begin to describe.
Oh, wow.
So there's a 21K and a 42K. Kitty Shred, of course, or as we like to call it, the Cub Run.
Oh, cute.
And this next year, we're introducing a 10K.
Nice. Okay. So if anyone's got a bucket list thing going with Canada, you can go and run Mars's race. That's
yes.
so cool. The
Come
coaster.
Visit me.
Love it. That's epic. And Mars, I mean, originally from South Africa, and we've mentioned Canada now, and I know, I think you moved over, is it 2 years ago already?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
About 2 years. And what did that journey look like? What made you guys make that move?
So my husband, Alex, got a job at a startup, and I think we've always looked or spoken about immigrating or just experiencing a new country, because I think it's massive privilege to be able to do that. And we got this opportunity and we just went for it. And of course, you Google Canada or mountains in Canada, and it just looks like the most incredible playground. And I can confirm it is wonderful. So the move, I would say, has been pretty seamless. of course, like the red tape and admin and bureaucratic nonsense, like that was a nightmare. But in terms of the people, the landscapes, even the animals, which, I mean, you think living in Africa, there's so many wild animals. But when I ran in South Africa, I don't have a concern of coming across a lion.
Yeah.
Canada, it's my biggest fear is coming across a mountain lion when I'm out with Benji. And I've seen, I think our first year we saw 14 bears. I didn't count them this year, but of course in my first year I counted them and we saw 14 bears. I think the grizzly bears' habitats are expanding because they're putting effort into that. And my husband saw a grizzly bear this year. And when we moved to the Sunshine Coast, I vividly remember searching on Google, are there grizzly bears on the Sunshine Coast? And it was like, oh, one might pop up every now and then. But I think they've seen two or three.
Ew.
So yeah, I live in grizzly bear territory, which is terrifying.
And you're like, as a dog mom, you're just like, no, I can't handle
I'm
this.
Like, can't.
Yeah. And what is the trail culture like in Canada?
You know what? I can't really speak super loudly to that because I would say in Vancouver, there's a very specific scene that I would think maybe replicates like the cool cruise in Cape Town. But the town I live in only has around 2,000 people. There's some bigger towns close by, but my friend Janelle Hazlitt, who's also an incredible runner and is my co-race director, she sort of started a running crew and it's incredibly wholesome. People from all walks of life, of all levels of running, and they've become my friends and my people, but I think they're maybe less than 15 of us.
Oh, wow.
So it's very small where I am. But I mean, I'm pretty sure, yeah, in Vancouver or Toronto and in the big cities, I'm sure there's a very energetic scene.
Yeah.
But I can find that a little bit overwhelming at times. So I love my little, my quiet sanctuary with my special people.
That's so cool. Peaceful town. Yeah. Love that. Yeah, that like mountain, I don't know, the cabin life. That's what's like in my mind. I'm like, Mars lives in a cabin in the woods in Canada.
Yeah. like sometimes I picture, I don't know, like a Twilight character just like coming out of the forest towards me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm just seeing you like in this movie now. And Mars, what is something that I can imagine it's tough, like moving away? Everybody talks about the trail community here, and I'm sure that we'll chat a bit more about your experiences with it, but it's like shaped who you are, the work you've done here, I think will always stick with you. But what's something that's been like surprising about moving to Canada, a positive thing that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, I think to like backpedal a little bit, I think connections are for life. And as soon as that clicks, you realize you just get to create more connections with more people. And that is everything. Connections, like a simple human connection is everything. And I'm fortunate to have a lot of those scattered across the world. Yeah, of course it is hard. Surprising. To be honest, like nothing really comes to mind other than just it's been really meaningful. And I suppose I would be surprised by how warm and welcoming Canadians are. I mean, it's a bit of a stereotype of Canadians, but it is so true. Perhaps it's because I'm in a small town, but people have really stuck their necks out for me, and that's been amazing.
That's so cool. I'm so glad it's been a good move. Yeah, I think I saw you made a post that you've said it feels like home now, which is special. Yeah, to get in, it feels like, okay, I'm set up here. These are my people. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Roz, I mean, working in the international space, I don't know if you've done a lot of that before when you were based in South Africa, if you were traveling much for work, but how has that kind of, shaped you and your craft this year? I think you've done quite a lot of traveling and moving around and doing some work outside of Canada. So how has that been?
Yeah, I did one UTMB stint while I was in South Africa, but that was while we were already going through the immigration process. Honestly, it's still really overwhelming for me. The space feels very competitive. And as much as I truly believe I have big match temperament and I'm like a proper competitor when it comes to my running, my photography has never come from that space.
Okay.
And to be feeling like you have your elbows out, like you're pointing your elbows out,
yeah,
to get the shot, and yeah, just fighting for jobs, and it's a lot. It's really taxing. And I'm still trying to navigate it, if I'm perfectly honest. But I think I try to remember the core of it and why I love it. And that's often just heading out with Alex and Benji, our dog, and taking some photos with them.
Yeah.
Or out with any friends. And then that centers me and reminds me why I like to do it.
And I think you were at UTMB and Western States this year. Those are both like huge kind of races that I think there's a lot of global attention, and with the sport growing, there's like, it's, I think it's nuts. Like you get there and there's just like people and energy and stuff's happening. And yeah, compared to kind of the South African events that you've been to, what was that space like for you?
It's big, it's busy. UTMB is a circus. I think the best time in Chamonix is the week after
when everybody leaves.
It's just madness. There's a lot of energy and a lot of noise. But I think luckily in the spaces I've worked, we have created these silos, and yeah, I've formed very close friendships with people. But yeah, it's bigger than anything you can imagine in South Africa, I would say, for sure. And you really get a sense of how quickly the sport is progressing and how big it's getting, which can be scary. It's taking over.
Yeah. And have you noticed, Mars, with the like the growth of the sport? I mean, I think from the outside, for me, I obviously have a lot of focus on the women's field, and a lot of the time I spend watching the races is checking that out. But it feels like every year the women's field is getting bigger and stronger. It feels like the standard of competition is just growing. And I feel like, yeah, Western States specifically this year, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't know who to like put my money on, in a sense. It's like, I feel like anyone in the top 20 could win this race. And do you feel like you've noticed that? And like in the media space, are there like other humans who look like you? Are you seeing a lot of women or not really?
Yeah, for sure. The women's field is growing, I would say. I think the pointy end of the field is getting faster and faster. I suppose part of it is that there is at least, I mean, there's hundreds of years of development into male physiology. There's still lacking in that department when it comes to women. But it's catching up and women are getting faster and faster. All we have to do is look at the current women's world record and the fact that she finished 9th.
Yeah,
at a world major marathon. That's, yeah, people have their opinions on that too, but that's not by chance. That's because women are given a chance.
Yes.
And it's going to take years, but it's incredible how much has been achieved in a couple of years, I would say, in the greater scheme of things, at least. So, yeah, I think we've seen like women finishing in the top 10 at these races for like a long time, but the amount of them like coming closer to that is definitely growing. And I think the men are stagnating, let's be honest. So yeah, that's with regards to the athletes, of course. With the women, in the actual like media industry, I would say the first year I shot UTMB, which I think it was 2022, I saw maybe one woman on the finish line with me, maybe. And then every year there's like only like one more. And this is, I mean, these races are so heavily followed that they are, you see hundreds of people with cameras in their hands. But if you were to collect all of them, I would say maybe at a stretch, 10% of people with cameras in their hands are women.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see that coming largely from brands. I think brands are putting a lot of energy into having women on covers of magazines, getting more women sort of in front of the camera.
Yes.
I don't think they're putting much energy to what's happening behind the camera simply because it's not being seen.
Yeah. And do you, I mean, I was going to say, like, why do you think that is? And do you think there's space? I mean, like, the difference in media, like a story being told from a woman's perspective, I think that's, well, for me, that's incredibly interesting. And I feel like something different could be captured. But I'm just wondering, like, why more women aren't, like, stepping into that space? Because when I think of kind of your career and the media space, like, so many talented, like, ladies pop into my mind. And then I was like, I wonder why kind of they aren't stepping up. Has there been stuff that kind of hindered you initially from getting into that workspace?
I think I've been really lucky, if I'm going to be honest. I've, a lot of the opportunities I've gotten, I think, have come from me being first and foremost, like, running onto podiums in the early days in like 2016. And then I created that, again, the simple human connection with race directors and people. And they knew me first as an athlete, and that connection had been made. And I picked up a camera, and because that connection had been made, there was, people were seeing what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I think I have been incredibly lucky with some of the opportunities. But what I will say is that every time I have worked on a proposal with a new brand, so how it sometimes works is if a brand wants to shoot a campaign, they will contact various photographers, and I'm thinking of one scenario where they asked for a proposal, and a few other scenarios where I know there are a few people up in the air of people they want to work with. This is definitely more from like a commercial side, so full-on branding, not race documentary storytelling. Each and every time it's been a man that's been selected. Could be coincidental. I'm not trying to suggest anything, but of course that leaves something with me, something I ponder about. But I can't comment as to why that's happening.
Mm.
They probably better than me, and that's fine. But I do, it's like the things that keep me up at night, right?
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you're still throwing your hat into the ring, still showcasing your work, showing up. And I think one of the amazing things that you have done this year, I mean, you're working with one of the goats in the sport, Jim Walmsley, and his wife, Jess. I think seeing you document their UTMB and Western States experience. And I think this is now 2 years in a row that you've done it, maybe longer.
Third UTMB. First Western States, because he took a bit of a break.
And how did your guys' paths cross, Mars? How did that kind of working relationship and friendship start?
So, I mean, like, so much comes back to Ultra Trail Cape Town. this would be a podcast on its own, like, just what Ultra Trail Cape Town has done for me as a human and as an adult. But essentially, he came down to race in 2021. I offered to shoot him on Table Mountain. I was head of media at that point and took some photos. Then from that, just became friends with Jim pretty quickly, I'd say, and Jess, his wife. And since then, they've been two of my closest friends. So again, it comes back to me feeling like a lot of this has just been luck. I know you create your own luck often, but I feel like a part of me often feels like, oh, I'm there because I'm really close friends with them. but also a gym isn't going to work with someone he doesn't value. So I do try and remind myself that, but yeah, comes back to Ultra Trail Cape Town, like so many things in my life.
Cool. No, you are an immense talent. That's why you have this role, Mods, not just luck. And has kind of working with him and following that, following like his races and documenting that, has that kind of work been what you expected it to be?
I think that's the tricky one to answer. I don't think I had an expectation. I think that's why I'm stumbling on this question. I'm the type of person, I don't try and have preconceived ideas how something's going to go. And it's, yeah, I roll with the punches.
Yeah. But even something like this year starting, you know, to document UTMB and then the day not going according to plan and things, and you're trying to, there's like capture the experience and the emotion. And then I can think when kind of, if the wheels start falling off, it's tough to navigate, like, you know, what now and how do we pivot and change? And yeah, how?
Yeah, it's a huge emotional roller coaster. I think I always try and be there first as a friend and someone that they can trust to be respectful, but also tell the story respectfully. And it was, I remember standing in Courmayeur watching this all unfold, and there was just like a moment where both of them sort of glanced at me, and I knew it was the end.
Okay.
And then it's really emotional.
Yeah.
Because all I want, even as a photographer, is like my biggest goal or my biggest hope isn't that I get these banging shots. Like, absolutely not. My what I'm clinching on is that I want to see Jim cross that finish line where he will be stoked with his performance. And if you know Jim, you know that's winning or probably breaking the record. So when that doesn't happen, or when it's something as dramatic as pulling out at Courmayeur while he was leading essentially up to that point, things sort of fell off a little bit before that. It's hard. But yeah, it's part of the sport, obviously. And then it was just a huge roller coaster ride from that disappointment. And I've gotten to know Vincent over 2 or 3 years, and his wife Camilla, and they've become friends. And Vincent is one of Jim's closest friends. And to then waking up, we booked a hotel in Courmayeur, so essentially left the aid station, went to the hotel, slept in the aid station, woke up, and freaking Vincent is leading UTMB.
Yes.
So you're dealing with this disappointment for Jim, all of us, Jess, Jim, and myself, but the sort of shock to, oh my goodness, he's freaking doing it.
Yeah.
And we were driving to go see him. He was, I think, climbing out of Triant, and we knew he was gonna win, and we were sitting in the car, and it was like goosebumps. You knew he was gonna win, and then of course he wins, he crosses the finish line. I shot him, or I was obviously not working for him or anyone associated with him, but as a friend I wanted to cover that, and yeah, that was very special to see that. But then you wake up the next day and you remember that Jim is going through a shitty time. And then you feel that sadness again. So this year was a huge emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so cool that you guys had that moment of sitting in the car and you're like sitting with a UTMB champion who like knows what it takes to win this race and who goes like, that's my friend. And they're on their way. I think that's incredible. And kind of future plans, continuing to document Jim's story, is that something you guys have chatted about? Does it come up like as races happen? Is he like, hey Mars, like I would love for you to come and kind of cover this, or how does that typically work?
I mean, it's just like always a rolling conversation going on in the background, usually not about races. Not so much with Jim. We catch up every, like, we'll send the odd message. Well, actually, Jim is usually, like, connecting with me via Duolingo.
Of course, celebrate some or other thing.
Oh, wow. Well. Or challenge me to a duel. Anyway, so yeah, but with Jess and I chat weekly, I'd say. She is one of my best friends, so yeah.
That's awesome.
So we chat about all sorts of things.
So then, so who's winning the Duolingo battles?
Oh, was? Jim. Like, he'll just win anything. I mean, like, I've seen it, like, literally anything. Like, he's so competitive. Like, whether it's Catan or whatever.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, it overflows into all areas of life. And Mars, I mean, Western States, I just want to dial it back to that quickly. So I think I saw, was it Matt Lennon who, like, posted this video of you, and he was like, there goes my friend running at 4 minutes a K after elites holding a massive camera. And I was like, I watched it, and I think I rewatched that video a few times. I was like, wow, that is very impressive. But what was, like, was that your first time at Western States?
I went the year prior to run Broken Arrow.
Okay.
And I did some work for Warnwear, which is, I don't know, it's a Patagonia's
yes
repairing so cool little segment. But that was in the week. So then I had the weekend open, and then I just shot for myself, which was it's really fun to shoot races for yourself. I did yes the same at Hard Rock. And yeah, you don't have any brief or any goal. You're just like, I want to take some nice photos yeah today. But yeah, so I had experienced the Western States vibe. But it was, of course, like, different being there as part of the Walmsley team.
Yeah. And how, what is something that is, like, a highlight for you from that race? I mean, it can be the vibe, something on the route. I've just heard there's, like, certain things that stick in my mind where, I mean, like, if you think of the UTCT course, for example, and then people are like, yeah, you know, like, Platter Clip or like the La Dadno to Heart Bay stretch, like, we've got these things, and there's like these words that you hear on the live commentary and you're like, that means something, I don't exactly know what. So it's like the Michigan Bluff or like
yes
things like that. But yeah, what's something that was just like a highlight for you being there this year?
So Alex came with me, and he was sort of like driving me around and to get to different aid stations, but we decided we were going to ride our bikes up to the escarpment. Anyone who's been up there, you will know that is not an easy way to start your morning. So I think it was like 3 a.m., whatever, maybe 2:30, can't remember exactly. But I was in full-blown threshold for like an hour getting up there. It was insane. But it was so fun. I don't know why, but it was just so fun. And the reason we didn't just hike up is because we needed to get to the next aid station really quickly. So we needed to get down the mountain
yes
super fast. And we were down the mountain in like 10 minutes or something, which was, we were faster than any cars coming down on the bikes. So that whole experience was really fun. And then the escarpment is beautiful. I mean, it is a ski resort, so it feels a little bit like plastic beauty, I like to call it. That's kind of how I feel about ski resorts. But I mean, you can't deny, like, yeah, the sun coming up over the mountains. That's always incredible. And then for the rest, it's it actually reminds me a little bit of like high felt running.
Okay.
Wow. It's not like a UTMB beautiful, by no means, but it's very unique. And I think that unique experience makes it beautiful within itself. And the like shooting it was just like a lot of fun in ways that when I like again thresholding up an escarpment, ooh, fun. And running down to the river, I think is about like 7-ish Ks and it's 45 degrees or something, and you have to run back up this thing. And I was like loving the physical side of it.
Yes.
And like being drenched in sweat and semi being miserable, but semi being like, this is what I made for.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean the race is just iconic, like the places you mentioned, but there is not one scene that comes to mind.
Okay.
Of like, wow, this is beautiful. Whereas like if you're running some of the balcony trails and things around Mont Blanc, it's like a postcard.
Yeah.
So it's not the same experience by no means, but the culture and the experience around it is very cool.
And the difference from like your kind of alpine, like French, Italian, Swiss Alps, like that sort of experience to something like Western States, like what is like the differences that you see between like the race vibe and how things are? I think, yeah, again, we just get like a general idea from looking at it online, but it does seem like they're different, but I can't comment on why that is.
No, it's massively different. I mean, I think of course, I've already touched on the visual side of things, but Western States has a handful of runners compared to UTMB. UTMB is just a monster in terms of participation and the numbers they draw. I'm not going to give you numbers because I don't know them, but what, like 3,000-ish for just UTMB? I'm not sure how many are over the whole week. But that alone will just like automatically make a very different culture. Of course, America is very unique in its own right. I mean, you come into Forest Hill and they're like Trump signs all over the place. Meanwhile, they're these very like chill trail runners running through the, actually one of the most sort of one of the things that will stick in my mind forever is Ryan Montgomery running down Forest Hill with pride flags swallowing him, and I'm like, this is epic. You tell these Trump signs, but like you would never see something like that in Chamonix.
Yes,
right. So it's just like, again, this American experience in California. And yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think of California as Trump signs, but as soon as you're out of these big cities, it's the reality of it. It's very, very contrasting experiences.
Amazing. Oh, it's so high on the bucket list to go, not to run, it's just to go and watch. I think you have to run that Western States. When I see the speed and the times and the heat and everything, I'm just like, those are really the top athletes in our sport doing that. And Maz, I mean, before we get into a little bit more of your own like sports journey, what is something that you feel like the sport has taught you this year from maybe being behind the camera, watching? Like, I think you've got such a unique perspective and you get to see people at their best and worst, and kind of you're absorbing all of these experiences. And yeah, what do you feel like is something that you've learned?
I mean, I think I've always been pretty self-centered in the fact of like, oh, it's just me who's had all these injuries and my life is so tough and running just won't click. But I've kind of come to realize it happens to everyone. And running is just a very difficult sport, and these challenges aren't unique to me. And how that's taken me so long to realize is absolutely ridiculous. But I would say that's the main thing that stood out to me this year.
That's so cool. And personal projects for next year, or like work that you've got lined up, is there anything new that you're doing, anything exciting that you're particularly looking forward to, if you can talk about it? I keep doing this, I ask people and they're like, I can't talk about it yet.
There are so many things that I hope to do. None of them are concrete, so I don't really want to like speak to them too loudly, but I'll just say like I'm very much looking forward to exploring more the film side of things.
Cool, exciting. Oh, okay, we're gonna keep our eyes out for that. That's gonna be awesome. And Maz, I think your sports journey hasn't necessarily been smooth sailing. I think when you walked in here now, I learned something new about you, where you were like, I was kicked by a horse. That was like one of my first injuries. I was like, oh my word. Even outside of like, falling on the trails. But I think you've managed to do like multiple comebacks and you still remain on a competitive level. You might not say that, but I think you are. And how have you managed to like keep your mindset towards the sport positive while like working through your injuries?
Like, it hasn't always been positive. That's why I became a cyclist for essentially 2 years. And in that time, I was maybe running on average 5Ks a week. I randomly jumped into things like Fisherman's Challenge and, but for, really on average, I was running 5Ks a week, I would say, for 2 years. And that was because I couldn't take the failure. I mean, at a time, it felt like every month there was something popping up. But I think that was due to a lot of things I was doing wrong nutrition-wise and training-wise too, I suppose. But now I've learned to look after my body, and things are for sure going better. And that lesson has been valuable. But like I said, I feel like running is just very hard, and I did feel like it was only ever happening to me, but it's just a really tough sport. And I suppose, like, I can finish that off by saying it's the best sport in the world, and that's why I keep coming back and I love it. And it's when I feel most like myself is when I'm alone on the trails just running.
Yeah. And Maz, like, give us a rundown of what the last kind of year or so has looked like training and racing wise for you. I think you spent 2 years on the bike. And you can also tell us, like, kind of what the injury struggles were. I'm not 100% sure when you started to, like, train consistently again. And yeah, how's that all been?
So I was sort of, while I was on the bike, I think I mentioned right at the beginning that I'm very goal orientated. And, while I was riding, for some reason, I fell in love with XCO cross country, and I thought marathon riding was boring. I got really bored on long rides. Like, if someone told me to go do a 4-hour ride, I just found them really boring. So the cross country was fun and it was really challenging, and I felt like there were a lot of elements that I had to work on. And I wanted to get enough UCI points to race a World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of like on my merry way. And then the first year I went to UTMB, that was off of this 2-year period, essentially. And I just naturally started running more, running with Jess, I ran with Tony. And it just, like, struck me in the face that this is what I need to be doing. And I emailed Otter while I was at UTMB. And I was just essentially like, I haven't really been running. I think I can run okay. Like, can I get an elite bib? And somehow they trusted me.
Yeah,
with that. They gave me that elite bib. And then I ran Otter. That was an amazing experience for many reasons. And
yeah, you got to share the podium with your best friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was very special. Like, I will never forget that. I started cramping like 16 Ks in, but somehow, like, I had the will to just keep trudging along. But yeah, I felt like myself again, like a piece had come back to me that was missing. And yeah, I suppose, like, since then, it's just been all into trail running again. And I ride for fitness now and I love it. And my husband is very into his cycling, very into scary jumps and drops and terrifying things. So it's when he wants to take it easy, it's like amazing to go out for rides with him. And Benji, our dog, also loves his trail rides, so I need to keep the riding going.
Cute. No, that's epic. And Mars, this year I think you raced at Broken Arrow. Did you do that?
No, that was last year. Yeah, no. Well, last year I DNF'd at Broken Arrow.
Okay.
This year I pulled out last minute.
Okay.
But I did, you might be, the races I've done this year is Fat Dog and Fultstrubelwood.
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking of now, where you ran into, like, quite rough conditions and did super well. Yeah, I don't know if it was from all your work that you were doing with Jess leading up to it or what paid off, but that's epic. Yeah. Just getting it back. I mean, when last had you run an ultra?
So I had done Fat Dog a few weeks before that, sort of as a test, and that was 62 Ks or so. And I remember the week before, we went on a sailing trip, like, into this amazing inlet thing, but it gave me a lot of time to think because there wasn't much wind, so, like, there was too much time to think.
Yeah,
that whole week I was just like, it's going to be so painful and terrible. It's so far, because my previous experience of a distance similar to that was a 65K at Ultra Trail Cape Town. And that was so painful and so horrible. So I was just, like, so prepared to be
suffering,
yeah, the entire thing. And I felt great. And it was so fun. I did projectile vomit right at the end, but it's okay. It's part of the sport. And like,
I love trail runners are like, so I did this and then I projectile vomited, but it was great. Like, I promise, guys, this is the greatest sport in the world.
I mean, like, once you vomit, you're like, let's go. And I only had 3Ks left. And yeah. I was suddenly like feeling amazing because just all of that was out of me. And I was like, only 3Ks left. Oh no, this is so fun. I want to keep going. So that was like a big confidence boost in terms of just distance and training. And it has been a really good year in terms of, I'm sure if I were to look at the stats, I've done the most mileage and definitely the most vert I've done all year. And then Voltstrubel came along. It was shortly after UTMB, and running during UTMB was obviously a little bit tricky that whole week. But I felt really prepared, like the most prepared I'd ever been for a race. And yeah, things were okay in the beginning, terrible in the middle. I think it was like passed by like 30 people or so. And then in the last 20Ks, the lights came back on and I think I passed 40 BI. I mean, I can't remember exactly, but I passed a lot of people in those last 20Ks. And I finished thinking, I had no idea where I'd finished. And I was so upset because I was feeling so good and I just wanted to pass more people, because for that whole like last 20K, that was like, just get to the next person, get to the, and I was like kicking them off. I felt like Mario Kart. Yes, let's go. And of course, like, you get like weirdly emotional in these ultras.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the amount of sugar you're eating or what it is, but you get into like this weird space. And I was so emotional on the finish line. And my dad then tells me I finished 11th and I just started crying because I thought I'd run into the top 10. But he hadn't refreshed his UTMB live app.
Yes.
So actually I had run into the top 10. But then when he was like, oh no. Actually, you were 9th. I just like burst into tears because I was like, oh, but if I had more time, I could have passed more people and I could have maybe been in the top 5. And I was just, that's just so melodramatic. Like, I'm such a princess. But yeah, the sport makes me a little bit crazy. My emotions are weird. I don't know if it's like the hormones or what it is, but
it's all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And well, I know that, I mean, UTCT is this coming weekend and we chatted about this before, and I think this episode's actually only going to go out after that. But just like thoughts around coming home, you've mentioned this race a lot. It's developed you, I think, like personally, professionally, and yeah, just thoughts on like the event itself and how it's growing and being able to run as opposed to filling another role. Yeah, like where are the emotions at?
Oh my goodness, so high. I mean, so when I did the 65K in 2016, Salomon had just picked me up as an athlete, I think like the week before, but they didn't have time to get me gear. So I saw Anne and like, it was like Nike top and Nike skirt. And then I did pretty well. And then I did the 35K the year after that, did pretty well. So like as a runner, it was cool. I had decent results there, especially as someone coming from Pretoria, like mostly running flat stuff, because at the time I was living in Pretoria. And then I won a Salomon women's competition to shoot the race and get mentorship from Kelvin Troutman and worked with him. And I think started sharing more of my photography after that, and then got some opportunities to shoot races like Ultra Trail Drakensberg and a few others. And it is the reason I had the confidence to become a photographer. That year that I did win this competition was when I just finished studying marketing. I got into an agency, and after I shot the race, I decided there's not a way that I could work in an agency and do the agency thing. So I said, no, thank you, and have been pursuing photography since then. And then Stu asked me if I could do the media, and that was 3 years ahead of essentially like all visual things you see on the race. And that has carved my career. It's given me that opportunity with Jim, of course, which has allowed me to shoot in places I could have only dreamed to. So to say this race has given me a lot is an understatement. It has changed my life in so many ways. And to be lining up on the 100K start line is terrifying. It's not been an easy past few weeks. But I'm just going to try go from aid station to aid station, and hopefully that UTCT magic can fill me up.
Yeah.
Because I need it.
Yeah. No, we're going to be rooting for you all the way. And yeah, just take it one chunk at a time.
Mm.
That's I don't know how else you run 100Ks.
Yeah. We'll find out.
And Mars, for 2025, do you have, and like leading into next year, specific kind of running goals and things that you want to tick off, or do those just kind of emerge as you plan your work calendar and things?
A bit of both, I'd say. The beginning of the year is always a bit quiet in terms of trail races, but I think I'll jump into the Gorge Waterfall 30K because I really don't want to become one of those people who runs their first 100K and only does ultras from then. I think I need a lot of work when it comes to speed, and I'm not going to find that speed running 100Ks. So probably jump into Gorge Waterfall. I really want to run Meet the Minotaur, which is a sky race in, I think, Crow's Nest Pass area in Canada. It's like a big, burly, technical sky race. I just love that kind of running. Mm. So that has been something I've wanted to run since before Canada was even a thought. So that's the week before Western States, and so it'll be a bit of a quick turnaround to get to California. But that's as far as I've planned. And then I'd like to do some longer races towards the end of the year. I did have a moment of like, yeah, maybe I should run TDS, but let's see how this weekend goes before I commit to something that BC.
Nice. Yo, that's epic. I love these race names, like Meet the Minotaur. It's always in like Fat Dog, and it's like the US and Canadian race names are just next level.
Ridiculous.
I always watch those like Instagram shorts where it talks about like when you become an ultra runner, and it's like, yeah, and I'm gonna do this, and it's like Hair of the Dog, or like a Twisted Spoon, and it's like just whatever household item you find, that's like the race name.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mars, before we let you go, what is our kind of round off question? And it is nice just to see a little bit of what inspires the human that we've been chatting to. But what is something that you've read recently that's inspired you?
Okay, so I'm gonna throw a curveball here and say, I'm not the biggest linguist. I don't read all that much. I'll read like the full Harry Potter series every 5 years or so. That's about the extent of it. But again, going back to like right at the beginning of the podcast, so I spoke about like my love for animals, like I love to ask ChatGPT every night to teach me something interesting, like give me 5 facts about an orca or something.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of my like thing that I do that I love doing. It's really fun. You should try it out. Orcas are specifically very interesting.
Got you.
And then I would say the things that actually inspire me most is any piece of film, documentary style thing done by Renan Öztürk. So Sherpa is great. I watch that every year. From the Ghosts Above or some. May have botched that name up. I watched that recently. Also watch that every year. Those are the things that really strike chords with me. So
awesome.
Planet Earth, that kind of thing too. Just all the outdoorsy, animal-y, geeky things.
That's epic. Mars, we are rooting for you at UTCT. And even next year, as we kind of look into 2025, I can't believe I'm saying that. But yeah, I hope those races unfold, from Gorge Waterfall to the sky running, and that in between that all the media things go well. And we'll also be keeping an eye on any potential progress for you in the film space. I think that'll be a blessing to that kind of medium. And thank you again for your time and coming on. It's so nice to chat to you and see or hear a bit of the story behind the smiling face we always see at the South African events.
Thank you.
Awesome. There you have it, everyone. The story of Mars van der Merwe, or at least a little part of it. I'm so stoked to follow her progress this year to see how she tackles
races in the 2025 season, as well as just where her professional journey continues to go and how she develops and grows this year. I hope you all enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you back here next week for our next one.